Okay, I think I'm good.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Window Cleaning Success Podcast here. I am super excited. I've got Gatlin McBride out of Salt Lake City, and he's with Mint Window Cleaning, and we're going to be just talking a little bit, and Gatlin will be sharing some of his expertise with us. So I am really excited. I get to get on these and just talk with some of the best window cleaners around the nation, and Gatlin is one of those. So Gatlin, I think we're just going to dive right in. And maybe you just tell me a little bit about your business. How long you been in, what you're doing as far as revenue, trucks, employees, stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah, John. First off, thanks for having me. I'm super pumped to be on this, so I'm excited. But yeah, so size of the company, or first off, how long I've been in it. So I started originally, I served a mission for my church, the LDS Church. I got back in fall of 2018. And then I actually started Mint with my older brother in Phoenix, Arizona. For about a year, it was about 8 months. And then I kind of decided that I wanted to do it by myself. And so I split off and I moved up to Salt Lake, and we've been doing it since then. So it's been about 2.5-3 years now here in Salt Lake.
Awesome.
So it's been fun. And it wasn't like, me and my brother are cool.
you got over 200 reviews. That's pretty good. I mean, most people don't have that after 10 years.
Yeah. We actually just started pushing that this year, so we can get into that, but yeah, reviews are huge. We kind of started pushing that this year, so it's been fun.
So what do you guys, if you don't mind me asking, so you 2.5 years, so you worked with your brother, broke off, started your own company. What are you doing in revenue right now? You guys do in 2021, you think?
Yeah, good question. So we do Christmas lights as well during the winter. You kind of have to in Utah, or else you have like 4 months where you can't really do anything.
Yeah.
So with Christmas lights and window cleaning, we're projecting about 650 to 700,000. So,
okay. 650 to 700K. So this is, so 2.5. So would it be safe to say, so 2018, what time in 2018 did you start? What time of the year?
It was right when I got back. So it was in the fall.
Okay. So you went into this going in the winter time then.
In Arizona though. So Arizona winter is like busy time.
Yeah.
Just because it's right after monsoon season. Yeah. So I did it for like 8 months there and then started it up in Utah in the fall again.
I know the monsoon season there can be killer. You guys are pretty, like, it's pretty dead in Arizona, I believe, with the monsoon season.
Oh yeah. During monsoon season, like August, September, it just like, well, I'd say like late July and August, no one wants their windows clean. Cause it's just,
yeah.
I mean, there's no point, right? It's just going to get dirty the next day. So people usually hold off. So,
and then on the flip side, when you're in Utah, most people have their Christmas lights done more than window cleaning. Is that safe to say during the winter?
During the winter, like seasonality wise, kind of what it looks like is like spring. So like March is when it picks up for window cleaning in Utah. Then come October, November is also a busy time for Christmas lights and window cleaning. So we do both October, November, and then we kind of shut down December, and then we do Christmas light takedowns January, February, and then we start window cleaning again, like March, April again.
So that's awesome. So you guys are basically able to stay busy all year.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I assume Utah is pretty good in the summertime as far as.
Yeah, summer's good. The entire year is great. The only month that is kind of slow is August. So the month that we just got done with, August, it's a bummer in Utah. Like we went, yeah, it was bad.
So time to take vacation, right?
Yeah. See, I didn't plan that though, because last year we didn't do enough to where seasonality really affected our revenue. But this year we were really pushing it to where we could really see the effects of seasonality. So
nice.
Yeah. August is definitely when it dips. And then September has been awesome. And then it'll pick up in October as well. So
with 650, 750 revenue, I'm assuming you have like 3 or 4 crews.
Yeah. So we have 3 crews. Well, it's tough. This year was kind of weird too. We didn't like plan on the size that we were going to grow to this year. So basically we run crews of 2 normally. But we hired on guys in July thinking we were going to start our other truck in August, and then August died, but we still had a technician.
Oh man.
So yeah. So we ran crews of, or we ran 3 crews, but we had enough guys to run 4 crews. We just didn't have the work. So basically they were like sharing the work, and now we'll start up 4 crews of 2 in October. So,
okay. And well, that's awesome. So I think it's easier when we lead with, it's hard to get a bunch of work and not have enough guys to do it. But of course, vice versa, if you've got too many guys and you can't fill up their schedule, that's a problem too. And it sounds like, I mean, at least a lot of people I talk to, at least for me as well, a decent two-man crew can usually do around $250,000 a year, sometimes more, depending.
Yeah, around there, yeah.
Yeah, and I know some markets are less. Obviously, everyone charges differently. And if you have some commercial accounts, do you service a lot of commercial? What's your mix as far as residential commercial?
Yeah, I think we're a little bit different than most. We actually focus more on residential than commercial. Like we don't even have a commercial route.
Really?
Like, we don't have that. So
what about the big commercial buildings though? Like the big stuff, you don't do any of that?
We do. So I would say like 95% of our jobs are residential. And then 5% are big commercial buildings. And the only reason we do them is because we clean the owner's house.
Of course.
And then he's like, hey, you come clean our business. So I don't even really market commercial. So as of right now, we do like residential service plans as kind of our bread and butter. So.
Okay. So and the commercial you do, I'm guessing, is like 2-3 story buildings, just mid-rise stuff.
Yeah, we'll go max 4 stories. We've done like some hotels, but like the Marriotts or the residential inns, like that are maxed out at 4 stories.
Yeah. Those are hard.
Yeah, they're not fun.
You gotta have a big water fed for that.
Yeah, our technicians complain every time they get on one of those jobs. They're like, dude, really? You put me on this?
They're great money though. Yeah. Sure. So you got started in 2018. This is amazing. So you got started in was it May 2018? You said May, I believe that's what you said.
So November, like fall of 2018 in Arizona. So,
okay. That's right. Okay, so hold on. So fall 2018, Arizona, and then Mint Window Cleaning, you started that how long after that?
A year later in the fall in Utah.
So 2019.
2019, yeah.
Okay. So we're talking 2 years. I mean, you guys grew huge. I mean, you grew really, really fast. How did you get started in Utah? Like how were you able to scale so fast? Most people can't scale that quickly.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of risk. I think risk is like super important when you're scaling a company.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, I'm not married or anything. I'm 24. So I don't have really a lot of responsibility and I can live off of $10,000 a year. Yep. So everything that I made, I just threw into marketing because I love marketing. And so I taught myself Facebook ads. We did a lot of the basics like yard signs, postcards. One big thing that we started off doing, and I would kind of recommend anyone starting off, is we put a yard sign in the person's yard that we did mm-hmm. and then put out 10 postcards in the neighbor's houses just saying, hey, we just cleaned your neighbor's house. Here's your discount code or whatever. And we would write, like I would handwrite the client's name. Like we just cleaned your neighbor's yard and I would write their name. And so it had kind of personal touch to it. And so I'd put that in and it was just really good because people would see the postcard and then they would drive to take their kids to school or they would go to work. And then they would actually see the yard sign in the person's house.
Nice.
And then they would be like, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna use this person. So that's kind of, we started off doing a lot of physical marketing, but also I was dropping quite a bit of money on, I taught myself Facebook ads.
Were you setting up like your own funnels, things like that?
Yeah. So I built our website, myself, just a basic Wix landing page and people were filling out the form.
Nice.
And I would go out and give quotes, but that was kind of, we almost didn't even do Google until this year. So like first 2 years, it was like all Facebook, social media. First year was like a little bit of Facebook ads. We're doing yard signs, postcards. And then second year, we really got into like the Instagram work and we can get into that because that's like our bread and butter now is like social media and influencers is kind of our thing now. And then now this year we do a lot of Google stuff. So now we're very well rounded, but in the beginning it was like very like guerrilla marketing on the ground, like shaking hands, yard signs, postcards, like that.
How it is. How it is. Hustling in the beginning like that.
Yep.
So when you guys were targeting customers, when you were setting up your Facebook ads, I assume you're going out. I mean, were you going after like all the high end stuff? Is that what you mostly focused on, or were you all over? Or
that first year, I was kind of all over just because I was trying to really lock down what our like company avatar was or our client avatar was. And we kind of got down to the point where our kind of our bread and butter client now and who we really shoot for is like dual income, makes over $100,000, has 3 kids. it's their second home or first. It doesn't really matter, first or second home, but it's like the home that they're going to be in for a while.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the client that I market towards in Facebook. The thing is with Facebook ads, it was kind of scary. You used to be able to get very specific with like everything, like how recently they moved in, when their birthday was. Like, it was crazy. It was kind of the wild, wild west of Facebook ads. But now with Facebook ads, you can't be that specific. You can't even target like income ranges. It's more just like location and like interests. Yeah. But when we first started, we kind of had the upper hand where we could kind of go after those very specific.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they call it in Facebook, but just like very specific things about the client. So
yeah, the interest levels, behaviors, lots of cool stuff that you could target. And yeah, after they got sued and pay that $5 billion settlement, they weren't too excited about sharing so much information.
Yeah, exactly. Privacy is great, but for marketers, it's tough.
yeah, for sure. And so you moved from there. You're not doing so much Facebook anymore. You're doing more Instagram then, sounds like.
So we just balance both, honestly. I've seen that doing both boost each other. So Facebook, for your listeners that don't know this, Facebook and Instagram are owned by Facebook. Like it's the same company. So when you run Facebook ads, you're also running Instagram ads. So a lot of my Facebook ads will show on Instagram stories and stuff like that. What I've seen works really well is our Instagram, our brand is very like trendy, right? It's very Instagram-y. So when we have our Facebook ads or whatever run on Instagram, people will check us out and it matches. Like, it's something that they actually want to follow.
Yeah.
And what we've seen is as we've grown our Instagram account, our Facebook ads have converted better. So it's kind of just like, it's super hard to start off, but as you kind of grow both, they both kind of just convert better together.
So you do still Facebook and continue to spend money on that then?
Yeah. So I run like $4,000 a month on Facebook ads.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we'll run Instagram influencers, which if you want to get into that, we can kind of explain that as well. But
we're already on it. So
what we do is influencers are super key because, and not even like these big, like you don't want someone that has a million followers to post about you because most of their followers are spread out through the United States, right? So what I've seen that works really well is I call them micro influencers, people that have under 50,000 followers. All of these people, if they grew up local, those 50,000 followers, maybe not all of them are local, but I would say at least 20,000 of them are local. Whereas with these, if you get LeBron James to post about window cleaning, like no one's going to call you because he's in LA, right? And he bounced around. Sure. So we kind of shoot for like these micro influencers. And what we'll do for them is we'll actually just clean the exterior and screens for free. And we just ask them to post about us on social media, on the stories. And we try to be very interactive. So like, instead of them just taking videos and just showing us cleaning windows, it's like them taking a selfie video being like, hey, we're here with Mint Window Cleaning. And I'm in the back being like, what's up guys, how's it going? And explaining the stuff. So it's very interactive.
Nice.
And that's kind of our Instagram game. So we'll do like three influencers a week at least. So we're just constantly in front of people. And what's great is a lot of these people that are following one influencer are following another. So we're popping up on these people's feeds three times a week. it's not so much like conversion marketing where like they see us and they're like, yes, I'm going to leave Instagram and I'm going to go schedule my window clean. No one does that, but it's top of mind. So when people think, oh, I need to get my windows cleaned, now everyone knows who we are. So
you're probably running ads to people that follow them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So then as far as your unique selling proposition, when you're talking to these people, what are you known for? Like, do you have a tagline? Do you have something that kind of draws people in?
So the thing that draws us in, so I really pride ourselves in like being our, like we have a hashtag for our company and it's more than a window cleaner.
I think it's great. Like, you guys actually have a cause.
Yeah. So we donate to a cause. I don't think anyone is super passionate about, if you're passionate about window cleaning, you're listening to this, like, I think that's awesome. Right. but me personally, my side that I'm more passionate about is the marketing and like building the community, which I think a lot more people are passionate about. I think a lot more people like the impacting their community, and that's what I'm all about. And so one thing is a percentage of all our jobs, we donate to Operation Underground Railroad, which is like, if you haven't heard of it, they are amazing.
They are awesome.
Yeah. So they save, basically they create, they do like special operations.
They were doing some work in Afghanistan last month too.
Yeah. And they went and saved some people that were stranded there, but they'll do special ops operations to go in and like save kids that are being trafficked. And they'll like not only save them, but they have a program set up to where it helps them get back into normal life. Because obviously if a kid has been in sex trafficking their entire life,
yeah,
they need some help like adjusting back to normal life. So they kind of do all facets of that. So we thought it was an awesome cause. I stand by it, and we donate a percentage to them. So that's one thing that kind of separates us. And I'm super passionate about. Another thing that we do that kind of separates us and that we really sell to our clients is that we're a subscription-based company. So
I noticed that. That is very cool.
Yeah. I almost do not want to clean someone's house once. I really want to build a relationship with the client and like be able to take care of them. So if they're looking for a one-off service, I will tell people straight up, like, don't use us. Like, so I'll be very honest with them.
So are you saying that when people are calling you asking for a service, do you quote them a one-time, hey, here's what we'll do if you have us do it one time, or here's what we'll do, we have a package and we charge X and we'll come every month or every other month, however you guys decide to do it.
Yeah. So what we do, we have the option of doing a one-time service, a biannual service, so two times a year, and a quarterly service, which is four times a year. And so I'll give them the option to do one time, but I really try to push them. This might sound like mean, but like I make my one-time services very expensive because I almost don't want to do it. And if they do want to do it, they'll have to pay for it. Whereas with our biannual quarterly is like very affordable. Like it's very competitive with our competitors' pricing.
Do you charge them all up front if they choose the package? Like,
no. So I'm very like also lenient on our packages. So basically it's like, there's no contracts. They sign up for the service. Our biannual is $50 off. Our quarterly is $100 off.
Awesome. That's great.
And it just makes it very easy. And so basically we don't have them sign up for a contract at all. And if they do sign up for the plan and they want to cancel, all that we ask is that they give us the discounted. Like, so if I'm giving them $50 off on a service and they cancel before they finish too, I ask them that they give me $50 back. And so I'll explain that to the client when they call me or when we're giving them a quote. I'll explain that whole process. I'll explain the three plans, the price, like what the price looks like. And then if they want to cancel, like that's the policy. And so it's very straightforward and there's no contracts. And what I've seen with that, a lot of people would be scared of retention. But I, like this year, so far this year, we've put on about 480 clients on plans and we've had like maybe 15 plan cancellations. So like retention is very good.
So I bet this was new for your clients too. I bet this was kind of, I bet they weren't expecting that either, but they probably liked it when you brought it up to them.
Oh, they love it. It's like, that's what like separates us. And people are like, yeah, I'm sick of what people don't like is there's like the one man band, which is awesome. And then there's the college kid that is doing it for one semester to make money. If you're that college kid too, nothing against you, but like if clients don't like that because they have to find a new window cleaner every season, right?
Yeah.
And so with us, what we've seen is when we can guarantee that to our clients, like, hey, we will stick around. This is your set price and it's a set and forget. And you never have to worry about getting quotes or finding another window cleaner again. They're even willing to pay more just for the convenience of it.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and that's a really, really good point you bring up, because when you sell, we're not just, a lot of times people say, oh, we're selling high quality, we're selling low prices. You know, really what people want is convenience. They want it super easy, set it and forget it. I mean, when we would build routes, you know, these $100,000 routes and pay someone $10.99, 40% of this, so 40 grand a year, we would literally set these routes up and build them where everything's on credit card. Everything's on schedule. And we just sell convenience. Say, hey, we'll be there. We'll clean the windows. Everything will look great every week. You don't even have to worry about the invoice. We'll send that to you and it'll show paid because we'll already charge your credit card. And so it was great for us because we always made sure we got paid. But at the same time, it made it so easy for them because they're like, all right, everything's great. I don't have to think about it. It's always clean. And so I bet your clients think that about you. I mean, you make life easier for them. And so I assume you probably do call them before you show up on the next appointment to say, hey, just to let you know we're coming in. Is there, do you set up a specific time on the second cleaning when you go to the first cleaning, or do you guys just, how do you do that as far as scheduling?
So we use Jobber.
Okay.
And so what I'll do is after the first service, we just automatically schedule them every 6 months or every 3 months. And then we'll send, so to get like super technical, basically we schedule all of the clients every month on the first Monday of every month. And then 2 weeks before, I'll go through and build the route, right?
Yeah.
Once the route is built, I'll send a confirmation text, usually 2 weeks before the service, so they know the date and time of when we're coming. And then they receive reminder texts, or they receive a reminder text 3 days before the service again, and then an email the day before.
And you guys are doing inside and out every quarter typically?
No. So we'll automatically schedule an exterior window clean. That's it. And so on the first service, a lot of clients will do like inside, outside screens, tracks, everything. Yeah. And then we just automatically schedule an exterior window cleaning. And then when they receive their confirmation text 2 weeks before, if they need to either change the date or add on a service, we ask them to do it then. And so that way we have time to put it into the schedule and then they're good to go.
And then, so do you guys do a once a year inside cleaning and the rest of the quarterly cleanings, I'm guessing, are just exteriors?
So all future services are exterior unless the client lets us know.
See, that makes it super nice. That makes it easier. And you guys, so you guys can just show up. What are you guys doing about rain though? Like if you got everyone in a schedule and you got if the rain comes, you got to push it off, or do you just do it and have the rain guarantee take care of it? Or what do you do for that?
So it's kind of both. So if the weather's looking like horrible, we'll just have to reschedule.
Sure.
And it is a major bummer when we're doing that, but like
super hard. I know. luckily, we all know.
Yeah. Luckily Utah weather is like, it's pretty mellow. So it doesn't even really rain that much.
Nice.
But we also have the rain guarantee. So we have a 2 week rain guarantee. So
yeah,
what I've seen with that, I feel like a lot of window cleaners are like nervous to give a rain guarantee. It's like not that many people use it. Like a lot of people will use you because you offer it, but not a lot of people will take the time out of their day to actually call you and schedule the rain redo.
It's just peace of mind. And that's the nice thing. Good selling point. Do you guys ever go through with, I know some window cleaners and only like the squeegee method, the mop squeegee method, and they will never use the water fed. Do you guys, when you guys are setting up these routes, do you do the water fed? Do you do that if you're cleaning those windows on a regular basis?
Yeah. So all the return clients will water fed all upper story windows, and then all lower story windows will do by hand.
I think that's key, because obviously when you have the water fed system, you're able to really bust through jobs faster. They still look great. And when it's done more often, like you guys are selling them on, it does look great. Obviously, if we were doing it once a year, it'd be a lot harder, I think.
Exactly. Yep.
So, all right. So that's super valuable. I appreciate you sharing that. I'm thinking about some of the kind of going back to the beginning of where you guys, you know, boots on the ground, you did some of the hard advertising, you know, the signs and the flyers, things like that. Do you do anything like that right now? Like Yellow Pages, like direct mail, any of that, you know, billboard, you guys have a billboard. I've done that before, by the way, and lost a ton of money.
Yeah,
it was great for my ego and that was it.
Yeah. No, we don't do, billboards. I actually put out a decent amount of yard signs. Like, so the thing is, we do so many clients now, we do about 15 houses a day and we leave a yard sign in every single client's house or in their yard.
Okay.
So when you're doing 15 a day, like people see who you are.
And they
And it's free. Like it costs nothing. So instead of doing a billboard and having it in one spot on the freeway, I have 15 signs a day that are in people's yards that people are seeing within their neighborhood.
Nice.
And then as for postcards, I actually don't have really a postcard system locked in right now. We don't really do any direct mail or anything. I was using, what are they called?
SendGym.
I was using SendGym and I really liked the service, but the problem with Utah is there's so many new homes that I was getting so many postcards sent back to me because it was a vacant home.
Yeah.
That like
it was growing like crazy up there.
Yeah, exactly. So like it was great for the people that live there, but since there are so many new homes, I was paying for double the amount of that we're actually getting into people's houses. So I had to shut it down.
Nice. Well, that's a good problem to have. So you obviously have your systems dialed in, and if it works for you, do you do very much networking, anything like that when you're, I mean, a lot of people swear by it, you know, BNIs and all those other groups. I never had time for it, but I'm just curious.
No, I've never been in a BNI. I remember I lined up like a demo for it and then I forgot and I didn't show up.
So you're too busy making money. You're like,
Yeah, but one thing that I do with local business, I do like to network with local businesses, but since we're very like on brand and trendy, I usually partner up with companies that are, have done a similar thing. So that have like online quoting is super key. If I'm going to team up with someone, if they have a great website, great Instagram, great brand, I'll usually reach out to them and figure out a way that I can partner up with them. For example, something that we just did is I partnered up with a pediatric dentistry called Happy Tooth. They're like, they're insane. They're the coolest dentistry ever. Like they have a slide, a basketball court. Like it's crazy. Anyways,
my kids love
it. Yeah. So they have about 50 clients that come in a day to get their teeth cleaned or whatever kids do with their teeth. And what we ended up partnering up with them to do is I'm going to clean their windows every month for free. And we give out air fresheners to our clients, but I made an air freshener that one side is Happy Tooth and one side is mint. And then the packaging, the mint side is like, hey, here's your discount. Use code Happy Tooth, whatever. And then on their side, it's asking their clients for a review, like a Google review, and has a QR code. And so basically in exchange for me cleaning their windows for free, which takes like 30 minutes and I only have to do it, like I send my guys out. So it cost me like 10 bucks in labor a month. They're handing out these basically postcards to all of their clients, 50 a day.
Nice.
So that's the type of marketing that, or like network marketing that I do. It's not so much like, hey, I need to go out and meet a ton of local businesses. It's very much like, what are my businesses that I know have the same client as I do? And what can I do and what value can I provide to them for them to promote me to their client base? So in that instance, it was, I can clean their windows for free and I can create a card that people will use to write a review for them. That was my value that I was providing. And in exchange, they're just promoting me to all their clients for free.
Nice. And that's just one office.
That's just one office. So we do that with car detailing companies, oil change, pest control, like any company that I can see that is like a cool local company that it's not so much their brand. It's more their mindset. So if I see someone that is very brand aware, then they're more likely to do these creative like partnerships than like your old school guy that's been doing it for 40 years and like just wants to do it the same way. I've reached out to them and they just don't really like, they're not interested in doing like this creative new way of network marketing. And so they just shut me down. So it's not that I won't work with them. It's just, I look at the brand as a way of seeing who I think would be interested in doing kind of like this new way of network marketing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I know a lot of window cleaners, and I was just going to go into my next question about if you ever bought leads like HomeAdvisor. Most of them will do that. Most of them they're not thinking on the level that you are. They're thinking about that. I want leads. I want business. I need to make money. They're not thinking about branding. They're not thinking about trendy. They're not thinking about aligning themselves with the right partner to have the type of clients that they want. Yeah. I assume, have you done any of those leads? Have you done HomeAdvisor, CraftJack, any of those?
Yeah, I hate HomeAdvisor and all those.
I think most people do.
Yeah, I think it's good for when you're starting off because you're figuring out like your brand, you're figuring out how you're going to market. And so it's like quick leads, they're expensive. They really are expensive, but like at least you get them.
And what's your cost per lead for your Facebook, Instagram ads?
So I try to stay, and this might sound really expensive, but I try to pay anywhere from $50 to like $80 for a customer acquisition.
Okay.
Which to most window cleaners might sound like a lot, but the thing is, since I have my clients on plans, my average customer value is $680 a year. And so I know that I can spend, basically I spend a lot of money of the first service and then I make it back on the back end.
Yeah.
But if you think about it that way, like 50 to 80 bucks to make 680 bucks, it's like a 10% customer acquisition cost, which is actually very good.
Do you have a lot of those people that renew that will just continue to go with that plan year after year? Obviously you're only in year three right now.
I rarely have people cancel. Like it's just until they cancel.
Right.
And so we really haven't had that many people cancel. Like I've said, we've had like 15 planned cancellations. So I
would say probably it's safe to say that the most profitable campaign has been the social media, the Facebook, the Instagram, bringing in the leads that way. The yard signs sound like they were pretty good too.
So it's like stages, right? So yeah. Our first year physical marketing was great, and that's what I would always recommend. Our second year was social media, and we hit social media super hard. We got into Facebook ads and we grew our Instagram. This year is the year that we've really explored Google. And what I like to see, I see as like stepping stones, right? Like if you were to start your first your company and you start spending on Google AdWords, you're going to lose a ton of money. Yep. You just are. But what I've seen is like, as we grow, each one of these new avenues converts better. So for example, with Google Ads, which we got into this year, Google, so also there's a difference, and I can kind of share this with your listeners, is there's a difference between Google Local Service Ads and Google My Business, right?
Yeah, go into that. That would be great.
Yeah, so there's actually three. There's Google My Business, Google Local Service Ads, it's a mouthful, and then pay-per-click, or just Google AdWords, right?
Yeah.
And the way that they work is, so Google Local, oh my gosh, I can't say it. Google Local Service Ads are the ones that pop up. People call them like Google Guaranteed Ads.
Yeah.
They pop up at the top. Then the AdWords is just like, it's your website below. And then Google My Business is where someone can see on a map, and it shows all the people that are located close to you and their Google reviews, right?
Yeah.
So what I've seen this year when we've really locked in with Google is because people see us so much on social media and so much on from our yard signs, physical marketing, they don't remember who we are, but they will Google window cleaning, right? Yeah. So they Google window cleaning, and then I pop up and I rank for all three of those types of ads on Google. And so say someone sees my sign that says window cleaning. Our signs say dirty windows with a question mark.
Yeah.
Which is really funny. Side note, in Utah, there's like every other window cleaner puts out yard signs now that say dirty windows on them because they think that's all we do. And it's not.
They're like, why isn't this working?
But what's great, they don't know this, but they're actually marketing for me because they put dirty windows. And so when someone searches dirty windows in Salt Lake, I pop up first on every type of ad.
Nice.
So basically,
they are helping you.
Exactly. They're just marketing for me. So that's kind of the flow. Is what I've seen is when you lock down physical marketing, whether it be postcards, yard signs, whatever, and people are just seeing you all the time, you're more promoting the service than you are your brand because people don't have time to drive past and like, look, oh, who is that company? What's their phone number? But they do remember the service, right? And then now that our social media is there, it provides, it's again, like people are constantly seeing us. So when they Google us and then they see Mint, they recognize it and they're like, oh, this is a great company, right? So now that we kind of have the three pillars of our marketing, right? Each one helps each other convert. And so that's kind of what I've seen this year is now we were prepared to start paying money to Google because the other two avenues of marketing were converting well. And now that's just like cherry on the top, right? Like, or is that how people see it? Say it?
Yeah, they all collaborate together. And I'm thinking as you talk about this, there's the ones that I talk to, the ones that I've interviewed before that have done well, have multiple plates spinning and they all complement each other.
Yeah. Now,
obviously you guys have a huge online presence already. So it would make sense that, and I'm guessing your lead costs on Google is probably not too bad because of the brand awareness already that's coming from social media.
Yeah. So like, for someone to like click on an ad and fill out the form, it cost me about $30.
Yeah.
And then with, my forms, we land about 30% of the clients that fill out the form.
Okay.
With a phone call, I land 80%, and a phone call costs me $60. So basically, the numbers are about the same. I don't want to like get super mathy.
Sure.
But the conversion rate is about the same. But like, I pay more for a phone call, but I give quotes over the phone on my website. So I can land someone, and it's just way more likely that I schedule them versus someone that's filling out a form. Then I have to follow up with them, and it's like a longer process.
Are you using any special software to keep track of your conversion rates and the leads, how you nurture them when they come in?
Yeah. So this is like kind of probably more intense than most people will ever do, but I built my website on ClickFunnels.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which ClickFunnels is great. I like stalked you and I saw that you have like built some funnels through ClickFunnels, which is awesome.
Yep. I love ClickFunnels.
Yeah. The thing is with ClickFunnels, it's geared towards more of like info product and like information.
Yeah.
Whereas like I built my website for basically I taught myself how to code and I code ClickFunnels is maxed out for me.
Yeah.
Like it's very intense.
Well, I'm just going to say Go High Level is another one. I know a lot of people love using that. Agencies use that to keep track of leads.
Yeah.
And it's pretty complex.
Yeah.
ClickFunnels is easier to learn.
Yeah. ClickFunnels is more like, it's more for like beginners, but also what's nice about ClickFunnels is like, so my website works is they go to my website and it's a landing page with a video of me saying our story, everything, right?
Yeah.
They fill out the form that gives them the opportunity to enter into our online quoting system. So before they even get a quote, I get their name, phone number, email. So if they drop off, I can retarget to them, right? So once they fill out the form, I get their information. They go through a set of questions that's like, how many levels is your home? Is there a basement? What's the square footage? How many windows, whatever. And then it pops out pricing for their home. Like,
and you're using Jobber for that? Or
that's on ClickFunnels.
Okay. So you actually just created your own pricing system through ClickFunnels. So you're not using ResponseBid, none of that.
No, I don't. I basically built my own ResponseBid in ClickFunnels. I think ResponseBid is great. I think it's really ugly. And it didn't match our brand. And so I basically built my own within ClickFunnels. And that's why like I had to code stuff. And so it was like very intense.
So you learned how to code, or did you hire someone else to do it for you?
I taught myself how to do it. It wasn't like that intense coding, but
could someone here that's listening hire someone to do that for them?
Yeah, you can just look at, well, it depends on what you want. You can definitely find someone on Upwork or like that type of freelance website.
Okay. As you know, most of the people in this industry, we're not computer programmers. Most people will listen to this and be like, wow, I would love to do that, but I don't know how to do that. And
Well, the thing is, mine's just very intense. What I would recommend for like someone that doesn't, like I taught myself how to build websites from the beginning. So I'm like, I know how to build Shopify websites, Squarespace, Wix, ClickFunnels. Like I taught myself that because it was a skill that I wanted to learn.
Yep.
But you don't need like that intense of a website. Like you could just create a landing page on Wix, which is very easy. Same thing with a video or pictures of yourself and then asking for their information. And then you could just give the quote manually. Yep. I just got to the point where if we're doing 15 houses a day, that means you have to give 25 quotes a day. And I didn't want to hire quoters. So I built a website to do it for me. Right.
Yeah.
So like you could just do it with quoters as well. But for me in the long run, it was cheaper to just build a website and set it and forget it and never have to worry about hiring quoters or anything like that. So
speaking of hiring, I wanted to ask you, so you're growing at a very fast rate. How are you attracting employees? A lot of people, especially right now, are coming to me and they are having a hard time finding people.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What would you say, what would you tell them that would work the best? If they're trying to ramp things up, they're trying to find the right people, what would you tell them?
So if you want to find the right people, it's not, so the way that you find them is important, but more the opportunity that you're creating for them is more important. The better the opportunity that you create for them, the more likely they are like will be willing to come onto your team, right? So I remember my first year when we were just doing window cleaning and that was it. It was very hard to find people because frankly, no one wants to be a window cleaner. Unless you're like a college kid and you're looking for a part-time job, then you're okay with it. But no one wants to be a window cleaner for your career. Like no one wants it. So what I had to do was create a super cool opportunity where they could be part of a cool team with cool perks to bring them on. So basically what I did is, first off, our brand is huge. Like having a cool brand has been able to get me such young talent because they're just like, millennials are funny, right? They don't really care about like, obviously they want to make money, but they don't care about like having a great paid job or anything like that. We pay our guys 15 to 18 an hour, which is very competitive, but they're more in it for like, they drive a cool wrapped Tacoma that has like rims and tires on it, right?
Really?
Yeah. So like all of our trucks, if you check us out on Instagram, we have like decked out Tacomas. We have a van too. And our guys like hate driving the van. It's the funny thing.
Of course. You can't see.
Yeah. So they get like the Tacomas. We have like cool swag. Like we buy all of our guys Nike shoes. They have like the cool swooped white mint shirts. We buy them like Nike hats. So it's like all about the swag. Very like summer sales vibe company.
Yeah.
And then also we do cool things like every Wednesday we buy our guys Chick-fil-A. So that's like one thing that we do. It's not for free. Like it's if they pass their truck checks, like we do truck inspections.
Every Wednesday.
if they pass that, then we buy them Chick-fil-A, right?
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard to keep those trucks nice when people don't care about them.
Yeah. So we check them every Wednesday. They get Chick-fil-A. Once a month, we do like a cool company outing where we went to like Topgolf. If you guys know what Topgolf is, they have that here in like Utah and Arizona. I'm not sure where they go out, but it's like it's a golf place. It's basically a driving range that you can like, it's cool. Anyways, we went like rock climbing. We're going on a camping trip this month. We just do like cool company outings and try to make it more of a community. And then when we bring guys on, it's more like they're working with their friends. And like,
if it's— how is that with employee-employer relationship? Like as far as being too close, too cool to fire or to discipline?
So that's another hard thing. I don't think that would be a problem for most people, but because I'm so young, it's hard because all the kids I hire are my age.
Yeah.
So they're like my homies, right? Yep. So it's cool. And so that's something that we've been balancing this year, is creating the management structure to where my manager is in charge of doing the discipline and I'm in charge of the positive.
Nice.
That way they don't—
you get to do the fun stuff. Good for you.
Yeah, that— and the worst thing that can happen is because I don't see them on a daily basis, but my manager does. So if I were to like say something negative to them and then not see them for 2 weeks, they're like, oh, Gatlin just sits in his room and does nothing all day and he's just mean, right?
Yeah.
Whereas my manager, he has more of the relationship where he sees them every day, to where they can take the negative, the negative feedback, and they're not going to take it personally because he's with them, and then they don't think bad of the company. Whereas like me, every week in our meetings, I announce like who was the fastest window cleaner and they get a $50 bonus, or like I announce who got us the most reviews and like I give them their bonus, and they're just like, all the positive comes from me. So then they like me.
Nice. Right? Nice. So, and you said you work out of your home. Do you have your trucks parked outside of your home, or do they drive the trucks home?
So that's a good question. So basically what we do, all the technicians keep their own vehicle. The managers do. We run crews of two. And that's another great thing for hiring. Side note, running crews of one, people will hate their job. Running crews of two, if it's going to be hard, at least it can be hard together.
That's the way we did it. Yep.
So, it helps keep technicians on. So the manager or the senior technician will keep the van or the truck at their house. Then they show up to my house every day and they fill up their water tanks. So we don't use like a Tucker filtration system. We actually use a stationary system that's hooked up to my house, and they have 45 gallon to 65 gallon water tanks. And
that's how we did it. That's how we did it.
So that's how we do it. And they fill up at my house every day. The only thing is I don't have time to like go out in the morning every day and be like, what's up guys? And like chill with them for like 45 minutes. So I'm in my house working.
Yeah.
Where when my manager's out there helping them fill up the tanks and getting them ready. So they'll drive to my house every day, fill up the tanks. They're all located in the same city that I'm located in. And then they'll drive out to their jobs, and then they drive home at the end of the day.
Okay. And fuel, your manager takes care of that, I guess. And you give them a fuel card, all that.
Yeah, we have fuel cards for all of our trucks, and we just keep the fuel card in the truck.
Okay. As far as ads for employment, do you do those? Do you do Craigslist? Do you Facebook, any of that?
Good question. We never even got into the finding because I was so focused on—
No, that's great. I think culture is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge because you can pay people really, really well, and they'll still quit, and you can't figure it out why.
Yeah.
And when you create something that people want to be a part of, you don't have to only lure them in with money, because that gets old.
Yeah. So that's kind of the opportunity, how we find people. I've tried Indeed and all of those, like the hiring agencies, and I think they work really well. The thing is, you're going to have to go through 20 people to find the one person that you want to hire. That's just the reality of it. Yep. What we've done that works a little bit better than Indeed is because we built up— we have like 8 technicians now, and they're all younger dudes, so they all have friends. So basically what we'll do, first off, we'll reach out to all of our technicians and say, hey, do you have any friends that are looking for a job? We'll pay you $150 bonus if they sign on.
Nice.
So we give like the signing bonus. We also post on our Instagram. Our Instagram, we have like 4,000 followers. I think we broke 4,000 followers this week, which isn't anything crazy, but they're all local. And so a bunch of moms follow us, or like, this is going to sound like bad, but a lot of our technicians, like, they're pretty good looking dudes, not gonna lie.
It's like the men in kilts window cleaning deal.
Yeah. So there's like a lot of girls that are like 18 to 25 that follow our account. And so they'll DM all of their friends that are like, hey, there's a super cool window cleaning company they're hiring, right? So we'll post on social media and I'll get 5 to 10 job inquiries of like kids that want to be hired. And we'll obviously have to interview them, but it's a way higher quality lead for an employer, or not employer, for an employee, than just going out to Indeed and finding random people, right?
Nice.
So those are kind of like our two, like the Indeed thing works. It really does. But the way that we've seen works a lot better is asking our technicians for referrals. That's like the number one thing. If you have enough technicians to do that, like milk your technicians for all they're worth. And then social media, just because we have such a good social media presence. So,
which goes right back to how you did in the beginning. You built up a brand and then you just kind of were able to build everything on it. Your Google ads, as well as getting more employees and high quality ones. How long do the people usually stay with you? I'm guessing a while, sounds like.
They'll stay with us for about a year. I have my manager that he like owns equity in the company. So he's very invested in it. And so he stays on, and he's, me and him grew up together. Like we're super good friends. So he'll never leave. Right. Nice. But I take very good care of him. So I, like last year we made no money and I paid his salary and I made no money. Like I just take care of him. Right. As for the other technicians, we have one manager that's been on with us for about a year and a half, and then, or two managers that have been on for about a year and a half. And then all the other kids we've hired on this year. When I interview them, I tell them, hey, I need you to stay with me for at least 8 months. That's just what I tell them. Like, so starting spring through the winter. And then we tell them like, hey, this is a seasonal job. So come winter, we're going to lay you off. And
what about the Christmas lighting?
Well, so that's the thing. So Christmas lighting we do, but we don't need as many technicians to take down the lights as we do to put up. So for example, in the fall, we're going to have 12 full-time window or full-time Christmas light hanging technicians and 6 full-time window cleaning technicians. So we're going to have what, 18 guys?
Yeah.
It only takes 6 people to take down the lights. So basically we'll take the best of the best technicians, and those are going to be our managers next year.
So going back to the revenue, you're making around $650,700 this year. How much, a lot of that's coming from window cleaning. How are you going to scale your Christmas lighting? Or is Christmas lighting a lot of that?
Christmas lights, we'll probably do about $200,000 this year.
Okay.
So it's not like a ton of it, but it's a very like compact 2 months.
Yeah.
Like we'll do 600 clients this month or in 2 months in this winter.
That's a ton of work.
So yeah, it's going to be insane. That's why we have to hire on a ton. Like we just hired on 12 guys just for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. But
well, you know, it's nice if they can get some extra money for skiing or for Christmas or whatever they want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we touched a little bit on the reviews, and maybe we can go back. We can talk about that right now. As far as obviously reviews, we all know are super important. Some companies spend time to get them and some don't. And it sounds like you really put an emphasis on that.
Yeah.
You have a secret or something you could share. It sounds like your technicians might be doing some of that for you. It sounds like you have some spiffs or something going on for them.
Yeah. So it's a little mixture of both. I'm very big on like automations. So we use an automation through Zapier.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Zapier?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. So there's like all these third-party review texting.
You got Birdseye. You got
whatever. Yeah. All those. They'll charge you like $200 to $500 a month, right? Yep. You can literally set it up for free with Zapier. Zapier costs like $5 a month.
Yeah. It's like super cheap.
So basically what we did for reviews this year is when we really started building it was once a job is complete, I have an automation set up through Zapier. So it takes, when we mark it as complete, Zapier sends something to my phone system. I use Ring Central, and there's a text message. So, okay, there's two text messages that get sent out. One is from my secretary's number that says, hey, we just finished up the job. If there's anything that we can improve on, please let me know. We love feedback. And then also, if you want to leave our technicians a tip, here's a link to our technician Venmo. And then a day after the service.
That's very cool. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, if Jobber's listening to this, I don't know if they are. Jobber, figure out your tech, like your tipping thing. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't allow for tips. It's so dumb.
They don't allow for tips?
No, it's so stupid.
House Call Pro does. That's what we used.
I know. It's House Call Pro does. But yeah. Anyways, we're using Jobber. But anyway, so it sends out that text, and then 2 days later, it'll send out a day after the service, it'll send a text from another number, which is my quote unquote my number.
Yeah.
That says like, hey, this is Gatlin, the owner of Mint Window Cleaning. I really appreciate you like using us as a service. I would really appreciate a review. Here's a link to our Google. And I've seen that converts really well. It being not everyone has this capability, but like sending it from another number and it being very personal, like, hey, this is the business owner. It helps convert a lot. Another thing that we did was because we up until this year, we had like 30 Google reviews, which is like nothing. Like we weren't even showing up on the map.
Wow, you guys really groove quick.
Yeah, now we have about 280 on one of our Google My Businesses and 130 on another one of my Google My Businesses. So wow. here's some cheats. So, and this is an expensive one. So when we first started, do you guys have Crumble where you're from?
Crumble. I've heard of it.
So it's like a cookie company. So they sell like boxes of cookies.
Okay.
And they're like very trendy and they come out with new flavors every month.
Okay.
They do delivery. So I made it to where in that text message, it said, hey, if you write us a review, I'll send you a box of Crumble.
Nice.
So I was bribing them, right? You're technically not
wrong with that.
Yeah, you can't bribe them you can't say, hey, if you write me a 5-star review, I'll send you a box of Crumble. That's like Google will shut you down for that. Yeah. But if you say, if you write me a review, then I'll send you a box of Crumble. And if you're sending someone a box of Crumble, they're gonna write you 5-star. Like they just start. Yeah. So that's right. One thing that I did. The thing is, it's $20 a box. And so I got like 200 reviews from it, but like do the math, I spent thousands of dollars trying to get these reviews.
But
it's totally worth it.
Like oh, totally run, worth
totally
it.
Worth it. Another thing that I did, and I don't know if Google's listening to this, they're going to shut me down, but
no.
I reached out to all of our technicians. I told them, hey, we're going to have a competition. Whoever can get the most reviews, like it's this week only. So you can text your friends, family members, whatever, right? And they need to write us a 5-star review. I will pay you for every 10 reviews you get. I'll pay you $25. And the person that gets us the most reviews by the end of the week, I'll pay you $50.
Nice.
So we did that. And in 2 days, we got 150 reviews.
Wow.
So I had to shut it down. I just switched Google accounts because Google was going to flag us because we were getting too many in a day. We literally got like 80 in a day.
That is insane.
So that was another thing that we did. You just have to be careful with that because you probably shouldn't get over 50 reviews in a day or Google will like flag your Google My Business.
Yeah.
I just wasn't expecting our technicians like do that much. But anyways, they were texting their friends, family to get like reviews, right? So call me dishonest, whatever. I had to get they're not false reviews, but like they're friends and family. And then now once we had
they can still say you're a great company. They don't have to say that they actually used you.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the thing was to get the base of like 100 reviews. And then from there, I would pay for the Crumble. Right. And so then we have 150 of like that are the most recent that are like clients that have used us. And those are like very, like, because we bought them a box of Crumble, they wrote us like a 2-paragraph review saying like how amazing. Wow. So now we have like this base of these ones from our technicians. And then, and I did it too. I texted my friends and family. I was like, hey, can you write us a review? And then on that, our clients that we've cleaned their windows for now have like the most recent reviews. So that's kind of like what we've done.
That's very cool. And you didn't have any of those reviews taken down?
No.
You know, it's interesting. So Birdseye, they're supposed to be super safe, but they will send a link out and ask for reviews for you and your behalf, you know, from all your client base. I had someone that was doing that because they saw my reviews going up like crazy and they started using Birdseye, started sending all this out and they got a ton of reviews and they got 80 of them taken off immediately. Really? Because for some reason, Google just does not like the automation. And so they saw a footprint and they penalized them because of that. So they were super mad because they've been around for 20 years and I was there for 1 year and we have way more reviews than they did.
Yeah. I think the thing with that too, is what Google doesn't like is if you don't have a lot of reviews, then you get a ton at the beginning. Like if you have like 5 reviews and you get 80 in a day, Google's like, all right, what's up?
Yeah.
But we've been getting 4 reviews a day for the past 2 months.
That's very consistent.
So like we are already consistent. So I think Google was just like we didn't get flagged because it was just like, it was a ton at once,
yeah.
But we had been getting reviews consistently for the past couple months. So it didn't affect us really.
And what helps is people that are giving the reviews for your company, they're all geo-based. And so they're doing it off their phones anyways. And it's hard to flag something like that versus coming from an actual link.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to try to wrap this up in about 5-10 minutes. Appreciate your time on this. Just so much meat in here. We've obviously talked about how fast you've grown, how you've been able to grow your client base through social media, and your culture, which is awesome. Sounds like people love working for you, and sounds like you're not going to have a problem growing because people want to work for you. They want the environment. And I think that's so huge. I guess the one thing I wanted to ask you, and I think you kind of already answered it, was email marketing. It sounds like you don't really need to do very much of that. Are you doing any of that at all? Do you do text marketing? A lot of people will use Text Magic. I don't know if you heard of them, but they will upload their whole list into there, and they'll send a text saying, "Hey, we've got our schedule open. Whoever wants to get into it, or whatever special they got going on, they'll fill up their schedule like crazy." Do you ever do anything like that? Email, text marketing on your current base, it sounds like you don't really need to. You have the subscription set up.
Yeah, we still do it though. So we do email and text campaigns. So I send out one a month, which is, I feel like, pretty conservative.
Yeah, absolutely.
To our clients that are on plans, we send out, it's more of like a newsletter than it is like, hey, sign up for your window cleaning, because they're already on plans.
Yeah.
So it's more to just keep them in the community. So in my newsletter, I'll send out how much money we raised for Operation Underground Railroad. We do monthly giveaways. So I'll say like how much, or like what we're giving away that month for the giveaway. And then I'll put like company updates, like, hey, we bought our new truck. Hey, these are our new technicians that we hired, whatever. It's more of like a keep up to date with Mint type thing.
Yeah.
And then for people that didn't sign up for a plan or didn't schedule their window cleaning, they'll get like an offer. So it's like, hey, schedule this month for $50 off your first service, or for free screens is one that we've ran, or like stuff like that. Just like a special offer that will run once a month to get those people that were already interested but didn't schedule to schedule, or people that scheduled for a one time to schedule again.
Nice.
So that way, the key with that is like even our conversions with that, like I have an email list and a text list of like 3,000 people. I'll send out a text or email and I'll probably land 15 to 20 jobs a month off of that, which sounds great, but it's not like the greatest conversion, but we're staying top of mind. So like we're always, people every month, they're remembering us. The problem with a lot of window cleaners is I think they'll give someone a quote even if they schedule, they'll schedule them and then never talk to them again.
Yeah.
And that's like a huge problem. Like you're wasting so much money that's on the table.
Yep.
Whereas like with us, I just send a text message to every single person that's ever heard about us, whether they've scheduled or not, once a month. So they're always remembering about us. So then if they want to schedule, they can. If they don't, oh well. So
that's awesome. Well, top of mind is important. And obviously everyone who wants to grow their businesses, I mean, you got real estate agents, and people from all verticals, if they stay top of mind, they're able to keep that customer with them. And obviously the customer value goes up, which with your subscription, you've been able to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing Christmas lighting. Are you trying to move more into that? Is that more profitable? How are you going to scale here in the future? I think you're going to hit $1 million next year.
Yeah, we'll probably hit, our goal next year is to hit 1.25. So okay. That's kind of what we're shooting for. Christmas lights, it's a hard company to scale. First off, it's like dangerous because you're up on roofs. So that's one hard thing.
Icy sometimes too.
Yeah, there's snow. Like it's crazy. So we're not really trying to scale the Christmas light side to be like, oh, I want to hit $1 million. We'll probably scale it next year. And that's probably it. So our max will probably be 1,000 clients and we'll probably be maxed out at like 300 to 350,000. But the nice thing with that, it's because we can't keep hiring on all these technicians. There's not like, we won't have enough bandwidth to like hire 25 window or Christmas light technicians for 2 months. And like, it'd be really hard to find that. But next year, we'll probably max out at 1,000. We'll probably have 16 Christmas light technicians. And what that does for us is we'll be able to use that pool to convert them into window cleaning technicians the next year. And that's, so with that, like I'm good. Because usually during the winter, we'll probably only keep on max next year 12 people. And that way, the 12 people can be doing the takedowns and they'll convert into window cleaning technicians. And that way, every single year, we have our 12 locked in technicians and we can hire more, but at least they're like our managers. I'm sorry, I'm getting a call.
All right. Well, so So then, okay, so then you're going to scale, sounds like, the window cleaning more. The window cleaning, do you do power washing too, by the way?
Yeah, so that's in, we don't. We do 100% window cleaning right now. Next year, we are actually going to branch out to do pressure washing, soft washing, and gutter cleaning. Okay. And then we're actually expanding our boundaries. We actually cover anywhere from like Provo to Salt Lake, and we're going to actually double our boundaries to about Provo to Ogden.
Wow.
So that's kind of like the two big things on our project next year. And so we'll, honestly, if we like executed that well, we'll break the probably 1.5 mil, but like our goal, like our conservative goal for next year is the 1.2.
So, all right. So you guys do have decent winters there. Obviously you got the ski resorts and I assume the roads do get icy there at times.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who's in like Minneapolis who wants to start their own business and they're looking at you and they're listening to this and they want to take their company to the next level? What advice would you give them?
Number one is you have to find a seasonal business that will get you through the winter. Window cleaning, as much as you wish it could, it's not going to make it through. And finding technicians to clean when it's snowing is just very hard. So whether it be snow removal, whether it be Christmas lights, some service that is specific to winter seasonality, is key to kind of keeping your business afloat. Otherwise, unless you want to be like the company that runs 8 months out of the year and you're okay with taking 4 months off,
sure.
It's just scaling your company is very hard because then you're stuck finding new people every single year.
Yeah.
So if you're going to scale it and stay like a consistent company, you need to find a winter seasonal service that will get you through the winter to keep your technicians on. So that we come spring, you're good to go. Like you already have your guys.
Okay.
And that's how we've used Christmas lights. So
great. Thank you for that. Well, this has been super valuable. I really appreciate your time. One of the last question I always like to ask, if you lost it all today, completely broke, maybe you've got a credit card. What would you do to get to 10,000 a month as fast as possible?
10,000 a month.
You're starting all over. No reviews, no nothing.
No client list?
No client list. You don't know anybody. But you got to make it happen. And you got to make it happen now. You're like, I got to get some money in. But I also want to build a good foundation. I want to build this the right way. And you got a credit card.
Okay. How much time do I have to get to 10 months or 10,000 a month?
I'll give you 60 days.
60 days. All right. First thing I would do, don't worry about paid traffic. Paid traffic, you don't have any money. So I wouldn't do that. So one thing I would do, build a brand. Create a cool logo, create a cool website. You can do it yourself, right? I built my website in a week. So create that first. That way you have somewhere to drive people to. The next thing that I would do is create a system for physical marketing, whether it be yard signs, postcards, whatever, leaving them in clients' houses, putting them around clients' houses. The next thing I would do is create a list of the top 100 companies, that local companies that you want to try to cross market your service to, and then find the top 100 influencers, whether they're on social media or whatever, and reach out to them and do services for free. So then they'll promote you to their lists because they already have access to thousands of people. So that's what I would do. That way, instead of you having to pay to acquire a customer for $75 a customer, you can find these top 100 companies and you can clean their windows for free or whatever. It costs you nothing. And they'll usually have a client list of 1,000. And so you do the math, right? If you do 100 people, there's 1,000. It's a lot of people in your local area.
Yep.
Without putting so much effort into actually spending money, you're more spending your time. So that's what I would do.
You probably surpassed that $10,000 mark before the 60 days went through, I think.
Yeah, probably.
The influencers.
Yeah, that's what I would do. You put up a lot of like time for free. Like the thing is, I'm willing to work for free. I do not care how much money I make. I really don't. It's just like a game to me.
Yeah,
so I would be willing to do all the work for free to be able to get access to those clients. So if someone is, you can definitely make it happen, but be willing to work for free for a month, 2 months. Like it's just, that's what's going to
happen. That's worth it. That's worth it if you're going to build a six-figure business. People will pay $100,000, $200,000 or more for a business like that. And when you break it down like that, anyone would be willing to work or should be willing to work for free for 2 months to get that and not have to pay much at all.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. This has been great. Thank you so much for your time. I know people that would be listening to this are going to get a ton of value. Cool. And all right, so this is John at Window Cleaning Success Podcast, and we just had Gatlin McBride over at Window Cleaning, and he is just, I mean, so many nuggets of wisdom. I recommend that you listen to this over and over and really just take some of the pearls of wisdom that he's giving you and change your business and use the strategies that he has outlined to grow your business. And of course, remember the culture is everything. So yeah, thanks a lot, Gatlin.